Sharpologist.com.
You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Burley, and today's April 3rd, 2019. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Happy April Fool's Day to you all. That's right. April Fool's is the 1st of April. A little bit later on the podcast this week. I do apologize. I had some internet issues, some technical difficulties, but we're back on the show and back and better than ever. Glad to be here, everyone. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of changes going on, I can tell you right now. And I sympathize with anybody that's gone through a move and all that good stuff. And I got to be really honest with you, for those of you who move from another country or from another state or from another area, I'm going to salute you right now, because let me tell you, I'm just moving down the street, down the road, and I've gone through so many different, this one with the internet, this changing this over that, this and that, and then transferring my job as well in the long run just happened to happen, that wasn't planned, and all this other good stuff. I do sympathize for you guys. It's a tough move and it's a very brave thing to do. So for all of you that had to move for a long distance of time, basically change your life, hats off to you. Salute to you. I salute you, because it is definitely one of those tougher things to do, I can tell you for firsthand. And I'm a big wimp when it comes to this kind of stuff. I don't really move too often, but wow, definitely pretty crazy for me. So today on the show, we're going to talk about finishing stones for straight razors. We're going to go over some of the basic stones and how to do so. We do this about once a year. I like to go over some straight razor stuff. And honing is always a big question, and it's a big deal with straight razors. So if you have an issue with honing, or you want to know what kind of stone to get, I'm going to talk a little bit about the main types. Also, there's a link of an article that's on our Sharpologist that I actually wrote several years ago. Actually, it's almost, several years ago now. It's based on all the different kind of stones and how to hone your razor, different methods and all that. It took a long time to write, about 6 months. So if you ever, I'll leave it. I have a show in the show notes, a link for it, so you can check it out. We'll go over some of the basic stones today. The Big Shave Southwest and the New York meetup. There are a couple meetups coming up this month in April. Big week, big month for wet shaving, for meetups. It's really on opposite sides of the country. So if you're near one or the other, you can go to them. Really awesome meetups and great content. It looks like it's coming out with them. A lot of people attending. So guys, if you are in the area, we'll talk a little bit about that and about meetups in general, because meetups are a great way just to meet some new friends and see, actually put a face to the constant text messages and also and emails that you kind of see on a daily basis. A week with a Weber. That's right. I spent a week with a Weber safety razor. It's actually one of the final pieces of my shave bucket list, if you want, per se. We'll talk a little bit about that and how I really enjoyed using that razor, and how it's definitely a collectible in my opinion. And when is your collection complete? When do you know you've hit the top, the bottom, or when you're finished? I think I'm personally at that point. It took a while, but I'm really very content with my collection right now. I'm going to ask you, we're going to talk a little bit about when is that time, how do you know, and do you have a bucket list? And we're going to continue with the adjustable or not. I received a few emails recently, like a couple days ago, regarding wanting to enter the contest, and I decided to hold it for another week. So we'll talk about adjustable or not. We're going to basically repeat what we talked about. I'll tell you my thoughts on adjustable razors as well. And really, with the emails, I got more emails from this question, believe it or not, than anything else I've ever asked in the podcast. That's why I'm a little bit behind, because I was really shocked with the amount of people that actually wrote into the podcast regarding adjustables, and how most of them actually do love adjustable razors, but there are some that don't. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. All right, guys, so without further ado, let's get on with the show. All right, finishing stones for straight razors. We're going to talk a little bit about finishing stones. Now, there's a lot of different types of stones, and you'll hear different brands and different types of rock, and this one has this kind of feel, and this one has that kind of feel. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you're going to have a stone that's going to get you a sharp edge that will shave your face. If you can think of it that simply, and simplify it, you're already winning half the battle. Remember, there's a lot of stones, just like there's a lot of different types of blades. There's a lot of different types of safety razors and straight razors and strops and all that good stuff and soaps. There's tons of stuff to do it. But really, bottom line is you want to have a sharp edge at the end of the day, right? So does it matter which one you use? No, it doesn't. I'm going to tell you right now, some stones may work faster than others. Some may work slower, but they all have one job, and that's to get a sharp straight razor. So we'll talk a little bit about the actual options right now. So you have synthetic water stones. These water stones tend to be the cheaper on the cheaper end. And I don't mean cheap, because a lot of these can be very expensive. I'm saying cheaper on the stone end of the actual wet shaving world. You know, your grits for a finishing stone, you'd probably want them to range from 8K at the very, very, very most coarse you can get to maybe 25K to 30,000, if not even higher. Some even go as high as 100,000. And, you know, the finer you get, it's the more refined an edge. I find that I can use a 10,000 stone or 12,000 synthetic water stone, and I can get by just fine with a straight edge, with a nice edge and everything. You know, I like to finish on naturals myself, but, you know, 10,000 will do fine for me. 12,000 will do great. But the prices go way up on that. There's some, you know, 30,000 stones that will cost you about $300. Now, which is better, Brett or Brand or anything like that? Norton seems to be pretty popular. King seems to be pretty popular. I think it's called Naniwa or Naiwa. Those seem to be pretty popular as well. Glass stones or Shapton. Sorry, I'm sorry. It's been so long since I've actually purchased stones, because I have a nice set and I don't really need them. So I have a good set that's lasted me a long time. And those different brands, you know, it's all about preference on that. I think some of them do work a little better than others. I've always used a Norton. I've had an 8K, a 4K, 8K for a long time, and I finish it on a natural stone. So that's just the way I do it. I've also owned a couple of Chinese stones that were a little bit higher up in grits, like 12,000. So synthetic water stones, what's the pros and cons? Well, the cons are, I'm going to tell you the cons first, believe it or not, because most people want to say pros. The cons are they do get clogged up, and you have to keep them flat. So they are porous, meaning they're going to get, you know, pieces of metal in them. You're going to see the color. If it's a white stone like a Norton 4K, right, you're going to see they get a little darker. And the 8Ks, which is a yellow, you're going to see that get darker too. And they're going to kind of get clogged up. Some people say they are. Some people say they don't. One thing is you have to flatten them when you get them. An unflat stone, even though it may look flat, may not be flat. Now, there's a way to do it with a pencil and a grid, and also with a DMT or a piece of sandpaper. A DMT is like a very coarse 100-150 grit stone that you can use. Or you can use maybe a piece of sandpaper in a bucket. There's a couple videos out there that are really, really good to show you how to actually flatten a stone. Something that I do highly recommend doing before you actually start. With a dip stone or a dish stone, it's not going to work. So one of the cons with synthetic stones that I've noticed is the maintenance on them. They have to be maintained. More so than a natural stone, in my opinion and in my experience. Now, there's other guys out there that have been honing razors. They hone thousands of razors a month or a year. I've only honed, you know, my own razors. I don't really do them for anybody else. So I can tell you right now that a synthetic stone will last me a long time. But you do have to flatten them periodically. And you'll notice after you use it, once a stone starts to dish out a little bit, and that means it just goes in, digs in a little bit in the middle, it's time to start flattening the stone. So yes, the life is a little bit limited on synthetic stones, but it is a long time. If you buy a big, thick stone for yourself, I guarantee you it will last you, and you're only honing your own razors, it's going to last you a long time, maybe forever. Who knows? So the pros on a synthetic stone are they're easy, readily available to get. You don't have to go on eBay and hopefully find one. You can find them. They're being produced right now. They're readily easy to get. They're relatively easier to use. You need water with them. You got to soak them in water. But you know what? They're out there. You can get it. They're not very hard. You don't need them. Most of them, you don't need to do a slurry, which is kind of like rub two stones together and get like a little cloudy, like a little like a sludge or something on there, just to make sure that it can sharpen it. And that's another story. That's a whole different method of stoning. You don't need to do of honing. You don't need to do that with that particular stone. So really, synthetic stone is probably the most popular one. I think they're, like I said, they're readily available. You can find them, relatively easy to use, And they do require some maintenance, but periodic maintenance. It's not going to be like every day you have to do it. All right, so then you have natural stones, which is basically there's two categories, synthetic and natural. You have types of natural stones that will be like kind of like a synthetic stone where they take the actual dust of a natural stone, condense it up, and then make a stone out of it. I would say that's pretty close to being a natural synthetic stone. It's a natural stone. It's made with natural, you know, particles. So Belgian codicles. If you haven't used a Belgian codicle, man, you're missing out because I think they're a really fun stone to use. They're from the Adren Mountain Range, which is in Europe. Overseeing, it's kind of like bordering France. I got to actually see the actual mountain range when I was in France last year. Haven't been to Belgium yet, so I haven't been able to see that. But really impressive, you know, just to see a bunch of codicles on the floor. They're known for the hardness level. Some are hard, some are softer, and the ability to hone with one stone. You can go bring a razor from bevel to set to all the way up to honing it to finishing a stone, all on one stone, on one with a couple of methods called the, you know, there's several methods out there to do it. Belgian codicles have been used for a very, very, very long time. Since the 1700s, maybe even before, I could tell you that in most museums, if you go to them and you see like, oh, here's a safety razor, a straight razor, there's usually a Belgian codicle next to it. They've been using them for hundreds of years. Pros and cons of the Belgian codicle. Pros are, you know, they're one stone hone if you really want to learn the method. They're a lot of fun to use, and they're relatively, you know, still readily, you know, available to get. Cons would be they are expensive for a bigger one. For if you want a stone that's going to be like the size of a 4K, 8K Norton, you're looking at spending $300, maybe if not more. You know, and for the same stone that might cost $80 or $100. You know, you're looking at $300 to $400. They're very expensive. And, well, they're a lot of fun to use, though. I mean, I think they're worth it. If you're going to have a straight razor collection and you want, you know, a couple stones, I would definitely, if not, highly recommend a Belgian codicle. So Japanese natural stones, one of my favorite to use. There are so many hardness levels and different types of grades of quality. It's almost hard to keep up. You have a lot of blade feel with Japanese natural stones. I think they're a lot of fun to use. You feel a lot of blade feel, which means you can really feel it when it's grinding. Different stones feel differently with all naturals. They can be extremely expensive. I'd say that would be the con, is that they're expensive. Also, bigger the stone, hard to find. They're probably about as scarce, if not a little bit less available than a codicil. But a lot of fun to use. So if you get a chance, definitely try a Japanese natural. And you have a German Thurgeon or like an Etcher, which if you ever heard of Etcher, I'm very fortunate to have one Etcher stone. An Etcher is, I'd say they were probably one of the major producers of the mid 19th century to 20th century. Company was formed in like 1790s and really worked until I think the 1950s until they went out of business, and they're gone forever. But the natural stones, not the condensed stones where they take the particles and like we were talking before, those are hard to find. If you can find those, they're very expensive. These tend to be really, really great stones to get, and there are still German Thurgeons out there that you can get, you know, brand new from different mines, but the Etcher mine, the Etcher company's gone. It's just a brand. It's just a brand name. I do have one. I did overpay for it. I can tell you right now it's a great stone, but, you know, I do have another one that's from the same region area, and I didn't notice much of a difference myself. So I'm just telling you, save your money if you want to. If you can just buy another German stone that's similar to it, you might be very happy with it. The blue-green ones are very hard to find. You're going to spend like $500-$600 for a very small, like, barber stone. But they are collectible, and they are a lot of fun to collect. And there's some guys out there that have hundreds of these things. So if you want to talk about some more stones and stuff, and just because we're strapped for time, I did put the link to the actual article. So if you want to check that out, there's also, you know, Welsh stones, different types of stones, Arkansas stones from the United States. There's just a ton of stuff to look at. So really, it's a podcast episode in itself. So check it out when you get a chance, and we'll talk more about stones throughout the year. All right, guys, the Big Shave Southwest is coming up. It is at the end of this month, mid of this month, all right? The Big Shave Southwest, this is, if you've been to the Big Shave West, you remember I talked about it a couple of years ago, I got to go. You know, I made a big deal about it because it was one of the best meetups I've ever been to. I can only imagine that it's in Arizona this year, it's going to be a lot of fun. I left the link for the show in the show notes for you to check it out. But a Big Shave Southwest coming up in 2 weeks. Check them out, guys. If you haven't been able to, if you're in the area, or if you're looking for a flight, hey, I flew Spirit to go get to there, all right? And I had to leave the next day. I could tell you that meeting everybody that you get to see, and not see so much, but talk about or see those videos, and you get to talk to them online, and just to see people just in person have the same interest as you generally, it's so much fun. It really was a very special time for me. So I do highly recommend going to these meetups, guys, if you are in the area. I don't mean go and waste all your money and create a financial hardship for your family. No, I don't mean that. But I mean, if you're in the area, if you're in the Phoenix, Arizona area, and you want to go stop by and you got nothing going on a Saturday, I would, you know, make a point of going, because you might change your whole aspect and make a lot of friends that you didn't know, or that you did know, you just never saw them in person. So, I mean, meetups are really close to my heart, guys. That's a really big deal for me, going to a meetup. I wish I could go to this one. You know, something that I really contemplated on just at this moment in time. I just can't. So I hope you guys all have a good time and take a lot of pictures. And, hey, send them to me. Email them to me as well. And also, New York City Wet Shavers Expo. This is done by Peter Charkey. If you haven't known, if you know who he is, Peter Charkalis, he is the owner of the shaving shop. He is doing a meetup, big meetup expo, and that is actually sold out, but I'm sure if you send him an email, he'll probably find room to get you in. But two major meetups, one in New York and one in Arizona, so opposite sides of the country. There's really, if you're anywhere near there, you got to make it, guys. You got to try and go. And I would love to go to both. Like I said, I just couldn't make it. But I love going to Pastures in New York. If whenever I'm in New York, I stop by. I usually meet up with a couple of wet shavers when I'm there. I tend to just meet them. They just come up and they're just there doing the same thing I'm doing. Sometimes one time I even knew who the person was. I was shocked. So check them out, guys, if you have a chance. Meetups are a big deal. If you are hosting a meetup and you want somebody to talk about it, you can send me an email and I will definitely mention it on the show. That's how much I do appreciate meetups. I will mention it on the show and let them know of your meetup. So feel free to write in and let me know. All right, guys, a week with a Weber. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the Weber safety razor, this is truly the first American-made safety razor since 1988, when Gillette made their last one. That's right. Gillette stopped making double-edged safety razors around 1988. Was the last one where they did it, and they started using, you know, cartridge razors solely in the United States. And they made their imported ones overseas, which they still actually make the cheaper ones, the cheaper like the NAC and everything. So guys from Weber, they come up with this razor, right? They come up with a safety razor, and they start making it. And they did different finishes and stuff, and we talked about the Tredier razor, where that was like the first CNC machined safety razor made in the United States. This is the first safety razor made in the United States in the 21st century. At least that's what I can find for double edge. So they use the forging process with the earlier ones. I recently picked up a polished head stainless steel, and I can tell you right now that, yeah, did I pay a little bit too much? Probably. Yeah, I did, definitely, because I know that brand new, they were only going for like 70 or 75 bucks. The razor feels a lot like a Rockwell 6S, I think, or the Rockwell 6S feels a lot like the Weber. It's a very mild shave, very enjoyable shave, and it was just fun. Like, I couldn't even head shave with this razor. It was great. The quality is there. It just, the weight balance and everything was there. I have all three handles, which is really cool about Weber. They're not making razors anymore, but they're still making their handles. You can find them on eBay or their shop, WeberRazor.com. And they have the Bulldog, they have the long handle, and then they have the wave handle. I actually have all three, because I got them when they were like, believe it or not, guys, they had safety razor handles for 10 bucks. Oh, they're flawed, or they're cosmetic damaged. Something's wrong with them. I got one. I couldn't see anything wrong with these handles. They were great. They performed perfectly. They're shiny. The knurling was there. I was very impressed. For 10 bucks, I bought all three of those handles. And I eventually found one. Actually, I'm sorry. I only bought the first two. The longer one and the Bulldog. And then I just found one on eBay. And you know what? It's my final razor that I needed to have on my bucket list. So I decided to purchase one. And just, you know, I'm not going back from there. I mean, it was great. I was very happy that I did. I have all three handles. I can tell you I like the Bulldog handle. Probably the best. The Wave handle probably second. The longer one just a little bit too skinny for my liking. I like a little bit of a bigger handle. But great razor. Great razor. So you're going to see some more content on the Weber, because I think this is a razor that needs to be preserved for life. And just if you haven't gotten one, or if you have never gotten a chance to use one, try it. I'm going to say it's not as aggressive as the other razors out there. It's not as as refined, but it is definitely a very nice piece and a lot of fun to shave with. So check them out, guys. Weber. If you're interested in the handles, they still do sell handles brand new. So check them out. Check them out for the handles too. Great handles. And that brings me up to another part of wet shaving. When is your collection complete? So do you have a bucket list? Are you content with your collection? So my thoughts are, I did have a bucket list and I made it about 2 years ago. Now I've been wet shaving for almost 10 years and I've been really enjoying it. For the first probably 7 or 8, I didn't really buy anything. I used the same straight razor. I had about a bunch of razors that I own, but I use the same one every day. My wife bought me a straight razor back in 2011, and I used that razor almost every day for 7 years. And I really enjoyed it. And then I started getting into safety razors because my friends were, and they were just telling me, oh, try this. It's a lot of fun. And I'll be honest, safety razors are fun because a lot of people are buying safety razors, more so than the straight razor crowd. But it seems like they're just different shave. I think there's a little bit of a different learning curve to them. And they're fun as well. I mean, I love both razors just as much, and I shave with a straight and with a safety razor equal amount of the time. So I made up a bucket list, and I put a bunch of razors on there, about 5 or 6 razors, soaps, and stuff like that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go after these razors that I want. They're not too expensive. They're not too out of my range. And if I have to overpay, I'm going to do it. But you know what? It's time for me to do this and get the stuff that I really wanted. And I actually finished my collection with that Weber razor. So am I content with my collection? I think so. It's the only thing I've purchased all year, the exception of one soap set. And usually every year I buy about 5 or 10 soaps, a year, maybe, usually I try to buy 1 or 2 soaps a month. But I just have so much stuff and I'm really happy with my collection. I really enjoy using it that I think I'm done for the moment, believe it or not. I'm not really looking to buy anything. So does that mean that wet shaving is done for me? No, I have plenty of stuff to talk about and plenty of items that I haven't even used yet or that I can use that I have plenty of content for years probably. I have enough soap to last the rest of my life. So I know that I'm content, but I will probably end up buying more stuff and selling more stuff and all that. I know that's going to end up happening soon. But when is your collection complete? Let me know in an email. Send me an email, joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. Let me know what your bucket list is. And if you have achieved your actual bucket list, you've achieved it, you've gotten everything you wanted, let me know as well too, because I'm really interested in finding out how you felt and when did you know enough was enough? Do you go through the 3 stages? Like the first stage is you buy everything. The second stage is you start, saying, okay, I'm done. I'm going to start selling everything. And then third stage is I'm happy with one razor. That's what I see 3 stages of wet shaving. I think I'm at the middle stage. All right, I'm pretty good. I'm going to start selling some stuff off. But I've seen a lot of people doing that. I think that's a good way to say it. If you have any other thoughts, please let me know. But yeah, when is your collection complete and do you have a bucket list? Send me an email. I'd love to share it on the show. All right, guys, we talked about adjustable or not. Last week, we talked about adjustable razors. And because of the response, I'm going to keep it open for another week because it was a lot of fun. And I'm still reading all the responses, and I'd like to pick a winner for the prize that I have, which is actually a very good prize. Adjustable or not, do you like adjustable razors? Are you an adjustable fan? Can you live without an adjustable, or do you not like them? My thoughts were I'm not really into adjustable razors as much. I do appreciate them and like them, but I like more aggressive, just traditional 3-piece razors, right? I know a lot of people out there love adjustables. And I have love for adjustables too. I like Toggles. I like, Gillette's, all that good stuff. I do like those razors. So let me know your thoughts. I'm definitely going to feature most of them on the air. It's going to take probably a whole episode or several episodes, but I will. Okay, guys? So winner gets a nice safety razor out of my collection that I have, and I will send it to them in the next probably a month or so, a couple of weeks, by the end of the month. And that also brings us to the next part of the podcast where delay in shipping. I'm sorry, guys, for the guys who won the t-shirts. I have been a little bit delayed and I have not shipped them out. I have them all set and ready to go and be shipped out this week. So, guys, everybody who gave me your addresses, Feel free to let me know via email if you have any questions or concerns. I do apologize. Just moving my whole family and everything, I kind of misplaced a lot of stuff. I ran out of time. I have everything now, so I'm good. And I'm unpacked and, you know, just about 100% settled in. So I do apologize. So much going on. And with the boy and my son on his way in a couple of weeks, I think the next show, if not the show after that, you're going to be hearing me say, hey, my son is here. So my little wet shaver will be here. So I'm very excited about that. Hopefully, in the next couple of shows, I'll be able to announce that. So looking forward to it as well. All right, guys. So that concludes our show for the week. And I'm really glad to be speaking to you and just having a good time. Been a very busy week. I do apologize for being a couple days late. But so is life. Special thanks to Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59, for everything that he does in the wet shaving world. And most of all, you guys, the listeners. Don't forget to check out my blog site at shavestraightandsafe.com. And feel free to contact me at any time at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. All right, guys. Our next show will be in 2 weeks, which will be, I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me, the 15th. I'm going to come back on the 15th of April. So until then, guys, shave straight and shave safe. Bye-bye now.